Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Have your Bibles with you. Go ahead and look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. As we do have the election of officers tonight, but this is going right along with that, to know why we need officers in the church. And so if we look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go ahead and stand with me. Go ahead and read, starting in verse 54, and we'll read down to verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 says this, "For so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing each one here that had the opportunity to be here to come and be a part of our services tonight. And God, I just pray that you would help give us insight into why the church and why officers and why service. And I just pray, God, that you would just meet with us and bless through all that takes place here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we study the Word of God, we know that there is life beyond the grave. There's no doubt about that. And if it is exactly the way God says it is, it's eternal life. And that means that this life, I think we looked at that, and the average age is around, in the United States, around 77. And when you compare 77 years or 79 years or 100 years with eternity, then you'll understand how important it is that we focus on eternal things. And eternity. There is life after death. And so because there's life after death, and that's what Paul was establishing here to the church at Corinth, and then in verse 58 he says, therefore, understanding that there is life after death and there is a victory that we have received and all the different things will take place. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, talking to the believers, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We know that one of the signs of the last days is apostasy. And so there's going to be an apostasy as we get closer and closer to the rapture of the church. There's going to be those falling by the wayside, whether they were truly saved or not. That's up to God to determine that. But we know that they will fall away. They will turn away from maybe not religion, but they'll turn away from the doctrines of Christ. They'll turn away from the work that Jesus Christ established and wants us to continue to fulfill. And so we know that there's going to be a falling away, but he says this is a challenge to the believers in up until that day, whether you die or that Christ returns or calls the church up in the rapture. He said, let us therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, as we labor for the Lord, it is not in vain. We find that God is going to use it now, and there'll be rewards and blessings in eternity because of our labor during this time for God. And so we must continue to serve God and always abound in the work of the Lord. And we do this through what Jesus Christ, the instrument that Jesus Christ established for us to do the work through, and that's the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ are the believers. Those are those that have called out and assembled themselves together, that God has called out and planted in a local body, and we come together and we assemble ourselves together. And this is the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We look around And most everyone here, members of the church, and you're a part of God's work, a part of God's church. And you're here tonight because it's something that God would have us to do as we assemble ourselves together so we can keep the work of Christ moving forward. Now, if you will, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, just a few chapters back, we find that Jesus gave us, or Paul through Christ through Paul, gave us this, again, this letter, this epistle to the church at Corinth to give us insight into God's will for the church. And chapter 12, it says much about the church being the body of Christ and every member making up that body. Starting in verse 12, he says this, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members," listen, because this is where each one of us come in, "but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Now, every born-again believer that has trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that is the body of Christ. Believers are the body of Christ as a whole, but yet God has established local New Testament churches all around the world, in every city, hopefully, and there is a local body in and of that church, Jesus Christ being the head of every body. And that local body, every member has been planted there, equipped by God and planted there to make up a functional body. That means that every true church is a functional body, and there are bodies of Christ all around the world, which the Bible says is the church. And so we have sister churches, but we are planted right here. If you're a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church and you have been saved and you have been equipped and you have been planted here within this body, and within this body you make up part of the functioning power of the body of Christ. Every member makes up part of the functioning of the body of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Jesus Christ established that. And so every member has their part in the body. And before we have any positions, before we have the position of a pastor, before we have the position of a deacon or trustee or officer or choir member or junior church member or bus ministry worker, before we have any positions, and all of the positions that we have to do the work are important, but before we have any positions, we first of all are members of this body. Before I am a pastor of this church, I am a member of the Lighthouse Baptist body. God saved me, equipped me, and planted me here, first of all, to make up his body, as part of the body. And no part is better than the other. There's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. Everyone serves in the position that God has placed you in, whatever that position might be. And so it's not that, well, if you got this position, you're looked up to and you have more clout and you have more authority and you get by with more things. That's not the way it is in the body. Amen. There's one head. Amen. Jesus Christ. Everybody looks to him. He's the authority. And we just look to the position that he has given to us, and we look to fulfill that functioning of that position. We look to be everything that we can for the cause of Christ, to keep the body functioning, fully functioning, so that it can accomplish what Christ has it here to accomplish, whether it's in Indianapolis or whether it's in Africa or Japan or wherever around the world. It's a functioning body, like the very same design, and it is to be a functioning body wherever it's at, doing the work that God has planted it there to do. Amen. And so that's just what the Bible teaches us. That's what Paul is talking about when he presents this to the church at Corinth. And so every member needs to know that God has placed them in this body, or whatever body that God has placed you in. Now, when you first get saved and you get baptized and you become a member, you don't fully understand that. You have to learn what the Bible teaches. You have to be discipled to understand the ways and the will of God. But as you start understanding that, the thing that you need to understand is you're a member of the church. Praise the Lord for that. And God has orchestrated it. God has worked it out. And now He has planned you. You have to figure out, all right, what is my position in the church that Jesus Christ has planted me in? And I need to be faithful to whatever that position is in the church. If everyone were preachers, we would have 500 up here, nobody in the pews. Amen. No, think about it. If everybody had the very same responsibilities you have, then look at everything that would go undone. Amen. If my position is just to, right now at a certain point, is just to be a faithful church member and fill a pew and support the preaching and support, be no preacher, no choir, no song director, no youth director, no this, no that. No. We're all, first of all, members of His church, part of His body. And all of us come here in different directions, with different backgrounds, with different trainings, different things that make us who we are. But you're here. Praise God, you're here. And you need to understand that God has brought you here. And God has planted you here. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I'm here to pastor this church. And that's what I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my effort. I'm going to do everything I can to be all that I can be in that position, because I know that God has called me to that position. But every member, it is just important for every member to know that God has called you to that position and God has planted you here. And if the whole body is functioning to the best it can function, there's no stopping the body of Christ. We will accomplish great and mighty things. We will do what God has called us to do. Wow. You have a position in the body. Verse 18, it tells us that. But now hath God set the members, every one, put your name, put yourself right there, that's you, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. You can't do anything better than pleasing God. Yeah. So in order for the body to function properly, what's the most important thing? Now he goes down in chapter 12 and verse 20, but now are they many members yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Think about what that would happen if your body says, no, I don't need your hands, go somewhere else. It would limit us, it limits your body. And this is what has been presented to us in Scripture. I mean, this is as clear as it can get. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Now the eye can't do what the hand can do. The hand can't do what the eye can do. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25, and this is a key, that there should be no schism in the body, no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. No jealousies, no thinking that you're something because you have a position that somebody else doesn't have. You have a special gift, a spiritual gift that not everyone has. Whatever it might be, that should never come into play. What should come into play is knowing the position that God has given you in the body. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, and let me just read to you, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Very same thing. That's what God wants you to do. Whatever your vocation, whatever God's called you, walk worthy of that. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If the body is not unified, it will not function properly. And if it's not functioning properly, it can't accomplish all that the body can accomplish. Whether wherever you work, you need your body. Amen. You need every part of your body to accomplish whatever work you're doing. And so you can understand that if the church, God has given us this illustration, and we're like that, the church is a body of Christ. And if it's not functioning properly, it limits the body from what it's able to accomplish. Simple. I mean, that you can't get a more simple illustration. And a more powerful illustration. We cannot have divisions. We must be unified. We cannot be speaking behind everybody's back and doing this and saying that and putting people down. And what? That's counterproductive. We have to understand the positions that God has given, and we have to make sure that if we have been given that position, we fill that position with the best of our abilities and do not try to undermine any other position. And not to be jealous of any other position, not to be able to try to take a position that God has not called you to, whatever it might be. I just want to serve God. However God wants me to serve Him, He has equipped me, He has given me a position, He planted me. I just want to be faithful to whatever His will is for my life. Yeah. So we must be unified. We must esteem God's positions of leadership. God has established the positions in the church. A chain of authority, and part of the chain of authority we'll get into in just a minute, is a position of leadership. Now, He has given us the qualifications for that. That's pastor and deacon and on and what have you. But the idea there is, and if you will, over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and let me read this to you too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, these are all very familiar passages, I'm sure. But chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, we've just been going through this, studying on what makes us the distinctive doctrines of Baptists, biblical distinctives of Baptists. And so verse 12 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you. God's given them position over certain ones, whether it be a Sunday school superintendent over a Sunday school, over a bus captain over a bus route, whatever it is. Whatever leadership that you might have that would cause you to have to oversee a certain ministry or a certain area of work that God has for us, starting with the pastor all the way down. But it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly. Don't undermine them. Don't try to put them down. But esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. That's how we stay at peace. That's how we continue unity. Yeah. And then if the body is to function properly, we must be faithful to do what God says to do in assembling ourselves together and bringing into the storehouse the tithes and the offerings. That's how God finances His church. God blesses the membership so the membership can be obedient. And when the membership is obedient financially to what God has blessed them with, the church house and the storehouse is strong. It enables the church to be able to do whatever it is financially that God has the church here to do. That's where in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, believers. As I have given order, this is God's plan. It's God's order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, all the churches, New Testament churches. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Just be faithful to the assembly and be faithful to give as God would have you to give. That's God's design. To keep the church strong, to keep the church, enabling the church to do all that God has the church here to do. So not only does every member have their part, needs to understand their part and want to be faithful to the membership, first of all, and then the position of membership that God's given to you, the church must have God's order. God does everything decently in order. In the book of Titus in chapter 1, we've seen this Sunday. In Titus in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes to Titus, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order." God's order. There has to be order. There should be order in the home. There should be order in the church. "The shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility. First of all, whatever position you hold, it's a position of responsibility. From whatever position that might be, you have work that needs to be done, and you're responsible to do that work. Every position, if you have a position, if you establish a position, there's something that needs to be done through that position. Amen. From janitor of the church to every other area of ministry in Sunday school to picking up children on bus ministry, through doing whatever needs to be done, if you have a position, if you're going to get things done, you have to have a position of responsibility, and their responsibility is to get this thing done. If you're going to have order, there must be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. If everyone's chiefs, there's no Indians for the chief to help direct. Yeah. What's the authority? The chain of authority? God. Highest authority. He gave us his son, which was his word. Jesus came and establish his word, which is the authority. God was the authority. He is represented by his only begotten son. Now that his only begotten son ascended to heaven, he is represented by his word, the Bible. Yeah. The Bible and the church. If it's a true church, it has to have the Bible as its authority, which is Christ, the head of the church. So the chain of authority is God's word, God, his word, the church, and then positions that he has established. A position that we're going to be voting on tonight, it would be a position of a deacon. The position that God has established to have in every church, first of all, is a pastor. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the requirements for these positions is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The requirements, the qualifications for a pastor, the duties of a pastor is presented right there. And then the duties and the qualifications for a deacon is presented right there. The pastor's position is a singular position. The position of a deacon is a plural position. If you were here Sunday morning, you might have heard that, but that was right there. It is the bishop or the pastor. It is one bishop. Every church has a pastor. That's what makes a Baptist church a biblical church and separates it from several other types of denominations, is we believe the Bible teaches pastoral leadership of the church. Not pastoral lordship, where he has the authority. No, he is representing on down to the chain of authority. He has to follow that which God has established as authority. But then it is a pastor that leads, oversees the flock of God and feeds the flock of God. That's just God's design. And that's singular. That's one senior pastor. And then it has deacons to be able to assist him. And the deacon position is plural. You can have as many deacons as what that church might need. But the position is the same, the qualifications are the same, and the responsibilities are the same. And then we have all the other positions that we need for the church, and that's Romans chapter 16. Romans in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Paul helps us to understand that whatever other position that you have for the church, whatever it might be, okay, has this title. And that title is helper. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become the saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of for you, for she hath been a succour of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. And praise the Lord for those helpers in the church that do the very same thing, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All of these other positions that we have and that you'll be voting on tonight, and that you might not even be voting on. This just appointed positions and positions of servants. It's positions of helps. If you have a position of helps, then look to that and understand that's God's plan for your life right now. Commit to helping, being that helper, whatever that might be. And if God opens a door and gives you a conviction, a burden for something else, and God places you in another position, then do all and be all you can in that position. But know that it's God that you are serving through the positions that He established for His church.